Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. For our Easter Sunday podcast, today's teaching is entitled Death by Faith. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and uplifting message from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
You just be wanting to give this. You just want to give it to somebody. Because you're so full and complete in Jesus. His love just makes you complete. Amen. Why am I talking about this on Resurrection Sunday? Because I'm pointing you to the purpose and why he even came. I'm pointing you to the purpose not just so you can go to heaven. So he can bring you back to his love. Well, Adam separated, Jesus come to rejoin us back to mankind. And so in desperate need of somebody to satisfy you. You're so complete because of what he's done for you. Now you just want to go give this to somebody. Somebody got to get this, man. Jesus loved me this much. You mean he done all this for me? And you want to tell somebody about it. Because nobody ever loved you. Like, that stuff didn't satisfy me like Jesus loves you. But how do you gain this understanding? You go to him. When you're deficient, when they done let you down, when you want to smoke, when you want to drink, when you want to lease your flesh out, you go to Jesus and you ask him to help you, ask him to satisfy you, ask him to be there for you. I'm giving you an opportunity to satisfy me because normally I go to that bottle. Normally, Lord Jesus, I go to that drink. I go to that smoke. All right? Or whatever you do. You might not smoke or drink, but you probably run to something to satisfy you other than Jesus. All right? And that's the reason why I'm talking about this. All right? Because this is what satisfies us, I'm telling you. This is what satisfies us. All right? And Jesus said, if you follow me, you should not walk in darkness. All right, let's go to some examples on God's likeness and God's ways from the Word. All right? Go to Isaiah 53, verse 7. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears. He did not open his mouth. Now, this is an Old Testament reference to how Jesus behaved when they started having accusations towards him. As he was on his way to the cross, they accused Jesus of saying things and doing things. Now, this is just some behavior from God, from the scriptures in the Word that we can see as an example that we have been created like. When you see Jesus, that's how God originally created you to act and be. All right? Don't see Jesus as some level that you can never attain to and get to. Because although he was God, he didn't use his godly privileges to be God. That wasn't why Jesus didn't sin. The reason why he didn't sin, because he learned how to be a man with God living on inside of him. He depended on God. Now, you got to understand, this is the master of the universe. He can speak and create anything. This is the same dude that created the heavens and the earth, but he chose to be a man and to operate as a man. He didn't choose to be God. All right? Because if he chose to be God, he could just say and do and be any way he wanted to be. They asked Jesus one time, they said, Jesus, you gotta pay your taxes, Caesar. Where your taxes at? He could have just spoke and let all the money just speak, money come, be here, be up here. Now, all right, there you go, there go your taxes. Because that's how he created the heavens and earth. Instead, but he's told Peter to go fishing. And the gold was in the fish mouth. Now that's got to be, he chose to do it a natural way, a manly way. But Jesus knew that the gold was in the fish mouth. He had to. He had to by revelation, by the Holy Spirit. All right? So what made Jesus so effective? The Bible says he opened not his mouth. Now I know it's hard for some y'all to grab that. I know when somebody lying on me, man, you know, it really takes Jesus for me not to respond, man. I'm for real, just in the natural, you lying on me, saying stuff I did and I didn't do. And the Bible says he opened out his mouth. You know, sometimes it's good just to keep that trap closed sometimes. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That trap will get you in trouble, man. It will. It will. Because you can't take back words. That's why it's so important that we think before we speak. Because you can't take the words back. It's like spilt milk. It's like toothpaste. Can we put, after the toothpaste come out, you try getting that toothpaste back in. I mean, just as the words coming out, you like, no, I wish I never said that. You can't get it back. It's over. And words, that's why it's so good we watch what we say. Sometimes it's not good to even respond. All right? Especially if all you know is flesh. If all you know is flesh, sometimes it's just good not to say nothing, man. Because I'm just, you know, I'm just going to say something I shouldn't say. Amen. This is God's ways. We're looking at scriptures to point to how you are, how Jesus created you. You are a new creature in Christ. You're not your flesh. You are who God says you are. You are who Jesus displayed. That's who you are. We gain an understanding of how God created us. That's why we come to Bible studies. That's why we come to church. That's why we read our Bible. We gain an understanding how God originally created us in the first place. All right? And so as you fail and as you keep moving forward in Christ, busting your head, getting back up, asking Jesus to show me how not to keep busting my head. Show me how not to keep tripping over this same area. When they say this, I respond this way. Teach me, Lord Jesus. Yes. Show me, Lord God. Yes. It can no longer be they fought.
Yes.
While you bust your head and go off. It can't be, this is the enemy. I'm going to go ahead and tell you off the bat. If it's somebody else's fault while you snapping and going off, that's the enemy. Because now we got to wait on them to change before we are right. They might not ever change. They might not ever change. They'll probably be like that 50 more years, and we'll be snapping going off 50 more years, as long as they are a problem. But when I started changing in my marriage and in my life, I stopped blaming people for why I was snapping and going off. I started blaming myself. I said, Lord, teach me, because guess what? He ain't gonna never change them. But he can change you. He can definitely change you. And guess what? He the one communicating to you. They might not be in a position for them to change, but Jesus wants to change you. Amen. And so it don't matter what they say to you. If I want to smack them, then it's something wrong with me. Amen. Why? Because I ain't looking like Jesus smacking somebody, right? Why? Because I don't see no smacks coming across my face from Jesus. Now, if I seen that example, I'd be like, fire to everything I was talking about. What'd you say, fire? Jesus did it. Yeah. That's why you gotta smack Jesus, smack me. Yeah. But we don't see that example, amen? If we saw that example, I'd be smacking all the time. Fire. Everybody have prints on their face. But we don't see that example from Christ, amen? We don't see the example from Christ. Jesus is our example. So as we yield ourselves to the Lord, he shows us how to be. Let's look for another example. Luke chapter 22, verse 49. Luke chapter 22, verse 49. He's still going off on that. Luke chapter 2, verse 49 through 53. When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed. Now they in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is, they coming to get Jesus. The soldiers are coming to get Jesus. Judas has just betrayed Jesus. And so now he's coming to betray Jesus with the kiss. A verse before this, says that Jesus, you know, Judas came and betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Now let's see this behavior from Jesus. Why am I going to Jesus? Because he is our example, amen, on how we should respond. When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, "Lord, should we fight?" We brought the swords, and one of them struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear, right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this," and he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus spoke to the leading priests, the captains of the temple guard, and the elders who had come. Am I some dangerous revolutionary yet that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day. But this is your moment, the time when the power of darkness shall reign. All right, let's look at this example. They asked Jesus at this time, should we fight? Sometimes if Jesus tells you it's fine to fight, but look at this example. Most of the time we should be asking Jesus how to respond. Not just respond how we've been taught or respond about how we feel. Amen. We need to ask Jesus to teach us how to respond. You know they like that anyway. All right? Especially if you're in a relationship, you know people got ways that ain't new. They ain't new. We know they like this. We know they don't like this. And when they get like this, they start showing behavior. And when they get showing them behaviors, then we start showing behaviors. Amen? That's just a natural thing to do. But we can start praying in advance. Lord, show me how to respond like you would to respond to this. Show me how to love them like you love me under these circumstances. Now, this is what I did in my marriage. And this is what I did on my job. This is what I deal with my pastor. This is what I deal with any person that pressed my flesh and I wanted to smack them or respond in a way that's not Jesus. Any person that pressed my flesh and I wanted to respond, that's when I stopped blaming them and I started saying, "Look, man, look, something wrong with me. Jesus, help me, because all I do is want to hire, right?" That's the flesh. But being honest like that with the Lord gets results. I've learned it gets more results than faking with the Lord. It gets more results than putting on some churchy, "Oh, I love you, God. I love you, God." No, Lord, I want to smack them. Show me how. Okay? Show me how to love them like you love me. All right? That type of talk with the Lord gets results. I've learned that it gets results because I am speaking the truth in how I feel. And I'm speaking that I want to change if you help me. And this gets God's attention every single time. He done helped me every single time by doing that. Not being religious. Not, "Oh, I love you, God. I love you." You just got through talking crazy with your wife. God, you ain't gonna change like that. Amen. Yeah. I've seen it for years, man. People come and put this front on in church and just evil at the house. You know? How I live at home is more important to you than how I live out. How I respond to my wife at home is more important than how I respond to you right here in front of everybody. How I treat my kids at home is more important because them kids see and they know. And they'll be sitting there, "Man, Daddy just acted crazy yesterday. He up there preaching like ain't nothing happening." Is this Christianity? Is this Christianity? Daddy up there preaching like, "Oh, follow all that. He just fed over yesterday." No, that's just an example. That ain't supposed to be. All right? And I'm not mocking if you are doing this. Amen. I'm just bringing out real life stuff. If this stuff don't become real at the house, it ain't real. It ain't real, man. I've seen that stuff for years, man. That stuff don't produce Jesus, man. I hate that stuff, man, because it ain't real. You know? But Jesus heals. Amen. So when Peter slides through other forms of the gospel, say Peter the one that pulled his sword and sliced dude ear off. Jesus said, you live by the sword, you die by it. Alright? So, beware of fights. Most of the time, it's just flesh, and it ain't the will of God. Amen? And we have to be honest and say, Lord, teach me how to handle it. Me and my wife, you know, I'm not trying to brag, but this is just the truth. We don't fuss and fight.
Amen.
I mean, just don't. Jesus done taught me how to be. And then she follows suit. Listen, when Jesus got with me, he started dealing with her. When I repented and asked Jesus to teach me, I stopped letting her be my problem. She stopped being my problem. Now, I'm not down at her. I'm just telling you what happened with me. It's real life stuff, y'all. Listen, when I would get mad when she said no, and I just want to, I'm the man and you submit to me. I'm the man. That stuff do not work, man. They are not finna submit to you acting like that. They are not. Flexing their muscles ain't gonna make them do nothing. They finna go do the whole opposite, and then I'm gonna leave you all killed. Who you are? Hey, there was nothing you talking about. That stuff do not work. But when I start loving her, and I started going against what I've been trained from the world, Jesus started teaching me how to be a husband, whether she was being a wife or not. Then Jesus came in. And I'm telling you, man, this stuff works, man. I'm telling you, man, it ain't my strength. I taught on grace last week. Listen, when you hear statements like we don't fuss and fight, it better be because God's grace. Or I would be crazy. I would be saying statements that don't make sense in the natural. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. With God, all things are possible. Don't give up in believing. Don't give up just because you messed up. Just because you keep fussing and fighting. Don't give up, man. Jesus can teach you how to be in every area. Don't stop believing God. Just because you ain't there, it don't matter you ain't there. Don't stay there. That's when we become stupid. That's when we become foolish. You know what I'm saying? Just keep doing the same thing and it's not working. We need Jesus to show us and teach us. Well, God, I keep answering this question wrong. All right? 4 + 4 don't equal 5, Lord. I keep answering 5 and I don't know why. Would you show me what 4 + 4 really is? And after he showed you, it's no reason to think it's 5 again. After he showed you that it's 8, it's no reason for your mind to go, it's 5. There's no reason for that. Why? Because you know the truth. You know the right answer. You know the way. All right? This ain't too hard for nobody. I mean, this is how I am, straight. This is how I am, straight. All right? And I'm dealing with real people. So this is how I am. When we look at them TV shows, they don't be holding back. They don't be holding back, and we sitting there taking it. Amen. Paying for it. Amen. It's entertainment to us. All right. It's so true. There are many forms of, and we talk about death by faith. Let me speed this up. There's many forms of death that a Christian partake in, all right? Not just physical death, but it's a lot of death that the Bible teach of that we're going to have to die in some areas. Die means no longer relate to. Find another way, find another source in why you do things. Die to areas of our life. Because all of us are not bad people. Say, I'm not that bad. Amen? I'm not that bad. And what you're not a bad person. All right, we just don't know Jesus in these areas of our life. And some areas we're very good at, you know, we can function in and we can put on and it's easy for us to do things in some areas than not. In some areas and there's others, they can do it fluently and I struggle in it. Amen. So you're not a bad person, but I am being honest and real with you that we don't have to stay in things that's not like Christ. You don't have to stay, you don't have to no more because of Jesus. All right? because of what he's done for you, because he's living on the inside of you to empower you to overcome this area that you couldn't overcome before. You didn't even want to. But Jesus is living in you now, and it's another story. Jesus in you is the hope of glory. It's the hope of you realizing that you don't have to stay in what you're in. All right? Because of Jesus. Amen? He loves us so much. All right? But there are many forms of death. Galatians 5:2 says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. Crucifixion means die or to put to death. The flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians 5:24. All right? Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself or die to himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's another form of death that you can apply in different areas. Amen? But he said, if anyone first, this is the first thing Jesus said, if anybody wants to come after him, they must deny themselves. Why must we deny ourselves? We was never created for ourselves. All right? Grab that statement. We was never created for ourselves. That's why Jesus tells us to deny ourselves is the first thing you must do to come to him. All right? We was never created for ourselves. Just like a spoon was never created to be in the microwave. All right? Water was never created to... Cars was never created to run off water. All right? They was made to run off gasoline. Petrol. You was never made for yourself. That's why Jesus said you must first, if you want to come after him, first deny yourself and take up your cross. Because you got your own cross to bear. Jesus' cross was to fulfill the will of the Father. All right? This is a scripture that I didn't put up there, but in John chapter 15, verse 9, Jesus said, as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. All right? Now this is what Jesus said. As the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. All right? So Jesus' focus in why he went to the cross, well, he wasn't just thinking about me. All right? The Bible says, as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. So if we see Jesus loving us on the cross, it's because Jesus kept his eyes on the Father and his love for him. The Bible says that when Jesus got baptized, a voice came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. All right? So Jesus had the focus on God loving him, because I done had the love. How many of y'all know we was enemies towards God before the cross? We was enemies. Everybody was an enemy towards God. Amen. Before, nobody sought God. Nobody called on his name. Everybody had gone astray. Amen. Everybody had gone astray. So now everybody is in need of God, right? So we was enemies towards God. And I done love it. I done love my enemies. And the reason why I love my enemies, it was because of them. If you're going to love your, the Bible says, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that spitefully use you. But I'm not loving my enemies for them. This is what Jesus have taught me. I can't be thinking about what they, if you're thinking about what people do to you, you're not going to love them. They are not supposed to be our motivation in why we love. Because we don't think about how they done hurt us, how they done betrayed us, what they have done to us that you didn't like. And long as we got that on our mind, we're not going to love them accurately. Especially when we talk about loving our enemies now. You ain't going to love them right, thinking about what they did. So what's the motive in why we love our enemies? Jesus loved me. So I love. So I forgive. So my motive has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with what he did for me. So I'm thinking about how I was a skunk and he forgave me. That's my focus. When I went out into these streets, I would knock on one door. I would be, I would get off the porch. I would walk down away from the house. I was like, Jesus, you love these folks. And I would knock on another door. Jesus, you love these people. So what was my focus? Jesus. On God's love for people. How he loved us all on the cross. So my focus has to be something different than why I love my wife, why I love the people at work. The motive in why we do things is not because of them no more. It's because of the cross. I was a skunk and he forgave me. Then he said, I give you a new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. So how did he love you? While I was a skunk, he took my sins away. He loved me. He gave me his grace. So what's my motive and why I love people? It's Jesus. This is what's influenced me to forgive. You're not doing people no favor when you forgive them. Sometimes we think we're doing somebody a favor when we forgive them. No, it has to do with you. Because Jesus gave you the commandment to love them. Jesus gave you. He the one forgave you. That's my motive. And the Bible says, as the Father have loved me, so I have loved you. That was Jesus' motivation, was the Father's love for him and why he went to the cross. He couldn't have been thinking about me. I was a skunk. Now, he probably was thinking about my potential and what he originally created me to be. But not, you know, I was a skunk. Man, why would God love me? Because he never created me to be like that. He always saw what he originally created me to be, and he came and loved us. Because he knew how he created us in the beginning. That was his motivation, to bring us back to the place where we don't have to be moved by what people say about us no more, or what they do, because Jesus loved us so much. All right? All right, let's go to our last scripture. Not last scripture. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Have y'all ever thought about why Jesus was in? We read some scriptures at the beginning. Have y'all ever thought about why Jesus was like, can this cup be passed from me? Can this cup be passed from me? He didn't want to do it. And then the Lord gave us revelation on how he wasn't saying that he didn't want to do what God said. You know, can this cup be passed from me? He wasn't scared to go to the cross. I don't think he was scared to go to the cross. You got to understand something about Jesus. He never been separated from the Father. Never. Never been separated from the Father. Never. He's, even while he was here on earth, the Father always navigated with him by the Holy Spirit to show him how to overcome this problem. Show him how to overcome this problem. And one thing the Father couldn't show Jesus. It's one thing. This is why Jesus was in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's one thing that God couldn't show Jesus. It's how to die. God don't know nothing about death. He's life. He couldn't teach Jesus how to die. He could teach him how to not see it because he's life. That's why Jesus was perfect. He was tempted at every point and didn't see it. But he couldn't teach Jesus how to die. Jesus had to go in there by himself. When Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says God turned his back on Jesus. And he separated from Jesus. Because God never separated himself from his son. Never in his entire existence have Jesus been separated from the Father. This is why he was in agony. Just like your baby, whenever y'all have kids and they try to separate you from your child and that child cry, that ain't nothing wrong with that, is it? Amen? If your child was with you and all she know is you or he know is you and you come, I come and try to take you from him, I know I'm going to have a fight on my hands. You know? Yeah. You're about tired of them now. But hey, that first 6 weeks, them first 8 weeks, you couldn't separate that child from that mama, even if you did. Amen. That baby crying, ain't nothing wrong with that. That's what Jesus was doing in the garden. He didn't want to be separated from his father because that's all he knows is life. And so for Jesus to say, for God to say, I want you to go and die, that's a foreign concept for Jesus. Die. All we know is life, Father God. What you talking about? Well, what are you talking about? God? Die? So now Jesus saying, can this be passed, man? Can we do this some other way, man? look, man, I really don't want to be separated from you. This is why it's called death by faith. Jesus had to die by faith. He didn't know nothing about it. And we're going to have to live by faith. Jesus died by faith, and we're going to have to live, because all we know is death. And for you, for me to come and say, and for Jesus to come and say, love your enemies, is a foreign concept. It's a foreign concept, ain't it? And that's why we have to live by faith in that concept. Because we have never even attempted to do this in our flesh. And you will have to live by faith in order to walk with God. Just like Jesus had to die by faith. Amen? And so if Jesus had to die by faith, you're going to have to live. And Jesus, why Jesus had to die by faith? He never deserved death. He didn't do nothing wrong. He ain't never done nothing wrong. He never deserved death. And you saying, I got to die? And we get that same feeling kind of when we're moving over into life. Because all we know is death. All we know is mess up. All we know is shortcomings. And when you start talking about not fussing or just being quiet while somebody cusses us out, okay. But you have to live that by faith. And as you live that by faith, it becomes easier and easier to just walk by faith and not by feelings and emotions. And then you move forward in the life of God and find out it's a grace for you to live this. It is an empowerment for you to actually live what Jesus says, because it's so foreign to our thinking for us to love our enemies. And for me to accept that, man, that's almost like, it's impossible, but God would never give you and give you some instructions to do and don't give you the ability to do it. It wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be fair if God gave us some instructions and we couldn't do it. All right? So, as we close, the cross is a wonderful picture of God's love for us and how God loved us on the cross. It's a wonderful picture of God's character and God's ways. All right? The cross is a perfect example of your value, on how much you are important to God. You are extremely, extremely, extremely important to God. For God to give up his own son. My son, man, come on, man. I wouldn't even do that for a good man. But he gave up his own son for you. For you. And all we do is receive his love for us and accept that and ask him to show us and reveal to our hearts what that mean. What do it mean for Jesus to come and die for you? What do it mean for Jesus to come and die for you? The cross is a perfect example on God's character. He loves you. And he wants the best for you. But he also gave you a will. And if you want death, you can have it. He's made a way for your escape. He's made a way for you to come out of your mess up, of your shortcomings. You don't have to stay stuck no more. You don't have to stay stuck. Jesus.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We hope you are encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you'd like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.